NFL postgame show is live at Superbook Lounge at Landshark Bar and Grill in Margaritaville. Caroline Fenton in for Jonathan Hutton. Chad Withrow is with us. We are brought to you by Renner's Warehouse, Two Rivers Ford, and Superbook Sports. Chad, how are we doing?
Doing great. Good to hear from you, Caroline.
Yeah,
when I
do,
join you on with you and Stillman, I never get a chance to hear you. So it's great seeing you, great hearing from
good
you.
Good to be with you, too.
What a win for the Titans today. We've got a good crowd here at Landshark Bar and Grill. I heard a Titans fan in the back. We got a lot of Packers fans up front right now. I see a nice lady in a Chiefs jersey also.
God, I see some Eagles fans they have every reason to be happy today after a win over Jacksonville.
The scene
wasn't pretty.
It makes total sense, Caroline, because the Packers are playing.
Uh-huh.
So we have Packers fans in the house. The Chiefs, you know, why not? It's Pat Mahomes.
Sure.
And I see a Pat Mahomes jersey. The Eagles are the only undefeated team in the NFL. We got more Chiefs fans back there. So the Eagles fans, look, the Eagles saw a win earlier. They're hanging out. They're eating. They're drinking. They're going to sit here through the rest of the day. I get it. You want to be out in public when your team is that good. But we've got a ton of TVs in here. Great games on throughout the afternoon. And locally, we've got a big win for the Titans. I had someone on Twitter earlier today, Caroline, tell me that, is it now your shtick just to be overly negative about everything? And instead of firing back at that person, I had to really do some self-reflection.
Yeah.
And I said to myself, you know, maybe I am being a little bit too negative on this Titans team. So I'll say this to begin. That's a big win.
It is.
For the Titans. They went to Indy and won. I know Indy has all of these issues going on, but the Titans have a ton of issues too. Injuries. They can't do anything in the second half. We're going to break down every element of this game and what we saw today. But I wanted to start by saying the Titans are 2-2. That is big after that 0-2 start, obviously. The Jags lost today. The Texans lost today. The Titans still look like they're in a good spot in the AFC South. Now, we'll talk about the issues surrounding this team also, but let's start by saying they gutted out a big win today. They had to hold on for dear life, but they found a way to get it done for a second straight week. We were here a week ago, right here in this same spot. I was here with Jonathan Hutton, and we were talking about them holding on for dear life against the Las Vegas Raiders. They did it for a second straight week, so kudos to the Titans.
And that was an absolute must-win game last week just to get into the win column because it's pretty darn near impossible to dig yourself out of an 0-3 hole. And this was the same approach that I had with the Colts, was just find a way to get a win because Titans are 2-2. You know, they're right on track. But losing a game to the Colts, it wouldn't not just put the Titans in a hole in the AFC South, but it would also be so much more difficult to dig themselves out of it, seeing as though the Titans have so much more of a difficult road ahead than the Colts do. The remaining schedule for the Titans is so much more difficult than the Colts or even the Jags have. The Jags playing a last place schedule this season. So getting in the win column, 1-0 in the AFC South, 2-1 in the AFC, 2-2 overall. The Titans are in good shape where it stands. Well, but we mentioned it's a good win for the Titans. A win is a win. It was a good first half for the Titans, but there's a completely different side to that story, and that was the second half of the Titans.
Well, and the other side of the story is Indy. Think of the folks up in Indianapolis right now, Colts fans. They're sitting there. They had their chance at home against the Titans with some injury issues on the other sideline, and they can't find a way to get it done where the Titans do absolutely nothing in the second half offensively. But now this is the way it sets up for the Titans. We mentioned the schedule. It's going to get tough not far from now. But they get the Washington Commanders next week, who they are no good. Sorry if there's any Commanders fans in the house.
I think they know it.
They're bad. I'm sure they're aware of that as well. Then they get the bye week. Then they get the same Colts team in Nashville. Oh, by the way, that'll be our next NFL postgame show right here at Landshark Bar and Grill. We'll have back-to-back Colts reactions, because we'll be here after the Titans play them in Nashville. And then you go to Houston. So you're looking at a situation where the Titans should be heading to November at 5-2. I mean, if we're talking about Vegas odds right now, I know crazy things happen, and I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but it does actually open up where the schedule is pretty favorable for the Titans here moving forward. Now, going back to this Colts game today, a couple things jumped out to me. Titans needed to get Derrick Henry going. They found a way to do that. I was starting to honestly believe maybe it's just not going to happen. And not because of Derrick Henry. I don't think he's washed up at all. I think he still has a lot left in him. But the Titans' offensive line has been so bad. They needed to establish the run. They did it. They got him going a little bit in the passing game. He had two big drops in this game also. that killed Titans drives. But I thought that was key number one. The other thing is, when you look at Indy, I mean, if you breathe on Matt Ryan right now, it's a fumble.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big issue for them. That first fumble on the first drive for Indy, first of two, I think, for him on the day, his eighth of the year. So that's going to be a big issue for Indianapolis. And for a second straight week, the Titans scored 24 points in the first half and not a single point in the second half and found a way to win.
And that's the astonishing thing about this team, is that this entire season so far, it's been a tale of two halves for the Titans. The Giants game, they come out, that first drive, they're able to score. The Titans have scored on every single first drive so far this season, which is something to hang their hat on. The fact that this offense is able to get things moving early, which is important for this team because they can get things moving early, but they only make it more difficult for themselves in the second half. So far this season, they've been outscored 64-7 in the second half. My question for you is, what in the world is going wrong in the second half? Is it play calling? Do they feel like they can just put their feet up at the second half? Because that's what it felt like they did against the Giants, very much so. But they look like a completely different football team, really, honestly, on both sides of the ball. And that's what I saw today from the Titans, was in the first half, they got things moving really well offensively. They were able to move the ball down the field. They were getting the good players involved. Derrick Henry was running the ball well. Robert Woods got involved. Treylon Burks was able to get involved. And then in the second half, several three and outs, two three and outs to start the second half.
No, it's look, I think it's partially play calling. By the way, Mack Hollins for Vegas, who torched the Titans a bit last week in the second half.
He absolutely did.
With an unbelievable catch in the game against Denver right now. We'll keep you updated on what's going on in all these afternoon games. Some really good games going on right now, including New England and Green Bay with the Packers fans in here. New England currently leading 3-0 in what to me is a big surprise right now up in Green Bay. So we'll keep you updated on that game. The issue with the Titans right now, first off, 243 total yards is not going to get it done.
No.
Shocked that you could win a game in the NFL today with 243 yards. You're right. Contradictory to what I just said, it actually did get the job done today because they won, but that's not going to be any recipe for long-term success. Caroline, I think the problem with the Titans is that they just don't have a counterpunch.
Mm-hmm.
Todd Downing and his offensive staff, they've done a great job devising a game plan during the week of a game that can give the Titans early success. We saw that in play designs to Chigakonkwo a couple times this game, getting the tight ends involved in inventive ways early in the game. The problem is you've got NFL coaches. I'm sure some people would argue about Colts-level coaching being NFL-level at this point, but there's NFL coaches on the other sideline. When they adjust, the Titans have no counterpunch.
Mm-hmm.
It was A.J. Brown. He was always the guy you could go to in a bind and just throw it up to him and he could make things happen. It is a player's league. I'm not going to put all this on Todd Downing. I don't know what more he has to work with if it's not Derrick Henry or nothing else. Because Robert Woods has not been good enough, even though he was a little bit better today.
Got his first target in the red zone today. First Titans touchdown.
I'm watching the game. I'm watching the game and talking to some people. And at one point in the third quarter, I had to look up and say, is Treylon Burks alive? Is he having an asthma attack right now? What is going on? I haven't heard from him after one carry in the first half, and then he had a catch. And what happened on that catch? He gets rolled up on his ankle, and now he's in a walking boot after the game.
And instead of just staying
touchdown
down.
Touchdown Packers, by the way.
Touchdown Packers.
They've taken the lead.
There are Packers fans in the house pretty happy about that one. Cheers to that.
The Cheeseheads are excited about that Packers touchdown and a Lambeau leap to boot. But so then you got Treylon Burks going down with injury.
And instead of staying down, he gets back up and hobbles his way back into the huddle when just take an injury timeout there. You're hurting the team by trying to get yourself back into that third down play.
You're really hurting my chances of being positive throughout the show today.
I'm sorry.
I wanted to bring that up because I saw people tweeting about this saying, well, that's two rookie mistakes in a row by Treylon Burks. One was where he did not get out of bounds in the first half to stop the clock. And then two was not falling down, you know, when he couldn't walk or could barely walk after that. And I object to that for this reason. That is not a rookie mistake. That's a football mistake.
Mm-hmm.
High school kids know to get out of bounds to stop the clock. High school kids know to get on the ground if you can't physically play to stop the clock and to stop the game. So that's a bad look for Treylon Burks, and there's been a lot of bad looks for Treylon Burks early in his tenure for this Titans team. But it all goes back to what are the Titans offensively right now? They're clearly a Derrick Henry-led team. I thought Ryan Tannehill was incredibly efficient today. his numbers aren't going to pop. You know, he was 17 for 21 for 137 and two touchdowns, but very efficient, 17 for 21. I thought he made the throws that were there. He had some really good off-slot arm throws where he looked like a second baseman turning a double play, throwing it to the shortstop.
That touchdown pass to Chigakonkwo.
Really good.
The pocket was collapsing. He had a very, very tight window. He was able to sidearm that throw and get it to the end zone. I thought that was a very, very good read by Tannehill.
Absolutely. And he had a first down pickup where he did the same thing, where he had to come around a rusher and throw it for a completion. So, look, I think that I think Tannehill was good today. I think Derrick Henry finally got it going today. I think ultimately with this Titans team, though, they have to find an adjustment. They have to find a counterpunch. It's got to be Robert Woods. I thought Austin Hooper may have a chance to be that guy. That's not happening. It's got to be Traylon Burks, who may now be hurt. So this all goes back to everybody wants to blame Todd Downing, and there were some bad play calls in the second half. There was also some brilliant play calls, like that third down pass play that won the game for them, where they could milk the clock. So this is not all on Todd Downing. It's a personnel issue. It's an offensive issue. It's in part a Todd Downing issue, but that's what I see right now for the Titans. When they didn't get that field goal late in the first half, and we'll talk about the clock management issues on that sequence, but when they didn't get that, it felt to me like the Titans are going to have to win this in overtime because the defense is going to do just enough to not get run off the field in the second half, but the Colts are going to come back and tie this thing. They needed to be three scores up is what it felt like to have any chance to win. That's a bad spot to be in.
And coming up next, we'll get into exactly what went wrong in that last sequence before the last half. But before you have a thought, before we go to the break?
I would love to take some calls today.
Absolutely.
Hutton said this last week. By the way, Hutton will be back with us on our next show. He's taking care of some family matters, death in his family with his grandmother and her funeral today. So we wish Hutton well and the entire Hutton family on that. Last week was the first time we have taken calls in 2 years because we don't take calls on our daily show. So it was amazing hearing from local Nashville fans, Titans fans last week. If you're out running errands right now, you're listening to us, you've got thoughts on the Titans game. I saw a ton of them on Twitter. People were tweeting to me. We'd love to hear from you, so let us know. 737-1025.
That's right.
Is the number, 737-1025. I have not given out a phone number because Hutton did it last week in over 2 years. So this all feels great. 737-1025. Load up the phone lines. Let's take it where the callers want to go. Caroline, I know that we both jotted down a ton of things we want to talk about with this game.
Yeah, absolutely.
We want to talk about all the afternoon games as well, get you caught up on what went on in the early game. So plenty to dissect throughout this show. And we're doing it from an amazing location here at Landshark Sports Bar.
Yep, 615-737-1025 is the number. We want your calls plus your texts as well. So make sure to get those in. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans' win over the Indianapolis Colts. Plus, updates on whatever's going on around the NFL. Again, we are live at Landmark Bar and Grill. $3 off any appetizers in the bar area. $20 special price for buckets of five on Landshark Beer, Bud Light, and McUltra. It's a great place to come hang out and watch the game, so come hang out with us. It is the NFL postgame show. Caroline Fenton, Chad Withrow. It's 102.5, 106.3 The Game. It is the NFL postgame show. Caroline Fenton, Chad Withrow. We are live from the Superbook Lounge at Landshark Bar and Grill in Margaritaville. And we'll be taking your phones, your thoughts all day long on the Titans' win over the Indianapolis Colts. Unless you have a thought to the phones.
Let's do it. Let's go to the phones.
All right, 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you have a thought. But Slick Texan says it's been 4 weeks. Does that mean Racy McMath and Elijah Molden are eligible to return to the roster? Could Racy come back and add a deep threat speed dynamic that this passing game needs so badly?
If we're asking questions about Racy McMath being a speed option down the field at this point in the season, that's when you know this Titans offense has really gone downhill. And that's the frustrating thing about Traylon Burks, about Robert Woods to me, is we should not be asking these questions right now because these guys should be stepping up. And the Titans should be doing a better job of going to those guys. You know, Westbrook Akina wasn't in today, so they didn't have to throw to him. I feel like every ball goes to him when he's in the game. The Titans have long done a bad job of throwing to their guys, I feel like, offensively. One offensive stat I did want to bring up, though. Derrick Henry, last two games, 17 second-half carries for 36 yards. Versus his first half, which is 25 carries for 163 yards. Remember when Derrick Henry was a second half back? when he's a guy, he's a volume player.
As the game goes on.
You give him more carries, he gets better and better as the game goes on. I don't think this is a problem with Derrick Henry as much as that offensive line is just not good. And I think that we should give Todd Downing, this is like Todd Downing appreciation hour here, but I'll say it, he should get more appreciation for the job he's done coming up with some game plan to generate points, even if it's only for a half, for this Titans offense, because that offensive line is not good. When I watch their run blocking, not good. I think they've done okay at times protecting Ryan Tannehill, but it's got to get better. I don't know where it's going to get better other than a guy like Nicholas Petit-Frere just improving as a rookie.
And that's what I think to be expected from Nicholas Petit-Frere. He is a rookie playing at right tackle. And I think we've seen Nicholas Petit-Frere improve week over week. And yes, we still see some issues with Petit-Frere, whether that's he doesn't know who to block or the false start. We saw that from Nicholas Petit-Frere today. But I can't be overly critical about Nicholas Petit-Frere for a couple of reasons. One, because I think he's been overall fine, especially since he's a rookie. And two, because he's learning on the job. The Titans are expecting him to learn on the job. I don't think the Titans drafted him in the third round expecting him to be their starting right tackle. It's just what happened since Taylor Lewan is out and Dylan Radins can't see the field. So I think with Nicholas Petit-Frere, I'm fine with him learning on the job, and I think the Titans understand that as well. But I think to your point about Derrick Henry and just the difference in touches and production in the second half, I think it's almost like a microcosm for what this Titans team's issue is and the difference between the first and second halves. I feel like the Titans almost abandon what works in the second half. They don't give the ball to their best players in the second half. They don't take advantage of Derrick Henry enough in the second half, whether that's a Derrick Henry doesn't get the ball enough problem, whether that's an offensive line blocking problem. I just feel like they abandon what works in the first half in the second half.
And it's alternating between abandoning what worked in the first half and also running your head into a brick wall over and
trying
over.
Trying to do the same thing over and over
again.
Yeah,
you know, second and seven, when they hand off to Henry at one point, I think in the late in the third quarter, and he runs for a three-yard loss, it was just the most predictable thing in the world. But there was the one drive where the Titans got something going, and I'm thinking, if they get a field goal on this drive, this thing's over. Mm-hmm. When they're up seven at that point. And that was the fourth quarter, because it's about 7.5 minutes left in the game at that point. And it's the predictable play calling at times with that. On the flip side of this, though, I thought Titans defense, even though they gave up a ton of passing yards to Matt Ryan, mm-hmm. pretty good today. It can't help the fact that Caleb Farley's a complete bust as a first-round pick.
My goodness,
and comes
Caleb
into the game.
Farley.
I saw your co-host, Jared Stillman, tweet, Farley's no good, but I don't know what he's supposed to do on that. And I'm thinking,
not
find the ball.
His guy?
Yeah, find the ball. You know, turn around. Like, you're supposed to have ball skills as a corner where when you're even running step for step and you see the receiver's eyes – where you can sense the ball's in the air, mm-hmm. you have to do everything you can to find the ball and not get lost and give up a big play. So Caleb Farley's not good. Their corner situation, not good. Christian Fulton, I think, has been okay. Kevin Byard, a great player in the league.
Yeah.
They've got some bright spots on defense. Those bright spots are able to cover up some warts defensively, and they hold Indy to 17 points. Look, I don't care about yards. If you're good in the red zone and you're not giving up a ton of points, and other than the Buffalo game, this Titans defense has been really good at that. So that's going to give them a chance, even with a limited offense. This is me being positive again,
that's
by the way.
That's good.
I want to be positive
again. So to
again
all of the people that I know have probably inevitably tweeted you, and I know for certain have tweeted me about being positive about the Titans, there you go. And also to your point about the Titans defense, the turnovers – Colts turnovers, I think, is what handed the Tennessee Titans
yes.
this game. Because not only was it the Matt Ryan fumble and the Tier Tart interception, which let's give some credit to Tier Tart tipping up that Matt Ryan ball and coming down with the interception. It was the fact that this Titans offense was able to capitalize off of those turnovers. So many times I feel like with the Titans, I get so frustrated because they're handed opportunities on a silver platter and then it's three and out or they're not able to move the ball downfield. But this time round, with that Matt Ryan forced fumble and I don't know if it was necessarily considered a sack fumble, if his knee was down or not. It was a fumble nonetheless. And the Tier Tart interceptions, they were able to score on both of those turnovers. So credit not only to the Titans defense, but also the offense as well.
So a couple things about that sequence. I think that was the most important sequence of the game for the Titans.
The interception or the sack fumble?
The whole thing with Tart.
Oh, yeah.
So Tart with you're right. Mm-hmm. Beautiful tip to himself, finding the ball in the air, gets the interception. Then, if you remember, Derrick Henry had a great run to the left that looked like it was for a touchdown. But I'm going back to Treylon Burks again. Stupid holding penalty that had no impact on the play.
Such a momentum
killer. He was
going
to score. And Derrick Henry rips his helmet off in celebration. I'm thinking, I thought that was a penalty. I didn't know that you could do that after the touchdown because it was coming back for the holding. He didn't know that, obviously, when he was celebrating. But then it didn't matter. That's where, right after that, Tannehill had the great sidearm throw you mentioned to Chigakonkwo for the touchdown. That was one of the first times I've watched this Titans team, and I'm thinking, this looks like 2021 Titans, where one little setback is not going to impact their offense greatly. Mm-hmm. Because when they had that 10-yard penalty, I thought, well, they're going to kick a field goal now. They're not going to score. And they didn't. They went right back to work, and they hit Okonkwo for the touchdown. So that was a very encouraging sequence for the Titans overall. Opportunistic on defense with the Tyrann Tart turnover. And then you mentioned the other times in the game with the fumbles from Matt Ryan, and then the big fumble by Jonathan Taylor late in the fourth quarter. So all in all, a gutsy win for the Titans when they needed it badly. And I also think that they helped, I'm not going to say bury the Colts right now this early in the season, but it's getting close.
And I think
it's getting close to burial time for the Colts after that loss today at home.
The Colts, I think, lucked out so much with finding the Kansas City Chiefs on probably their offest of office days in a very long time. Because if Indianapolis loses that game to the Chiefs last week, another AFC loss, I would say the Colts are pretty darn close to being buried. But they escaped with a win. I mean, the Chiefs just had a god-awful day. But again, Titans aren't buried. 2-2. They're right on track. I didn't expect it to be those wins and those losses, but they're right on track.
And I thought going into that game last week that we would be here in this postgame show talking about burying the Titans. And I'm watching Vegas right now on one of the many TVs here at Landshark Bar and Sportsbook. And the Raiders and Broncos are tied at 10. And I'm looking at the Broncos roster and looking at Darren Waller and Devontae Adams and some
Raiders
of the guys
roster
on their team. And I'm thinking, how did the Titans, with the roster they trotted out last week, beat them? And, oh, by the way, how are the Raiders winless on the season so far? And I'm still thinking that as they kind of trot along in a 10-10 tie with Denver right now. But here we are. The Titans found a way after a great first half against Vegas. And in the next week, they score 24 in the first half again, and they find a way to hold on for dear life, and they get a big road win. And most importantly, they're 1-0 in the AFC South.
Does it not feel like this Broncos-Raiders game might be the battle of the most preseason overrated teams in the AFC?
I keep thinking about the AFC West and how they went winless last week against the AFC South, because after 2 weeks, and I'm still pretty convinced of this, the AFC South is probably going to be the worst division in the NFL.
Probably.
Or close to it, right?
NFC South is giving it a run for its money.
Yes. Yes. No, you're right. Especially if Tampa ever struggles with their offensive line and receiver issues. But
I say that as Carolina's up 7-3 on the Arizona Cardinals.
But I'm watching this game and I'm thinking, is this for last place in that great AFC West when I watch the Raiders and Broncos? Then I remember that the Chargers got blown out by Jacksonville last week, and they kind of had to, they ended up winning by, I think, double digits, but kind of had to hang on against the Texans today. So the NFL is a funny league, Caroline.
That's, it really is.
What I'm trying to say is that
especially
it's really
this
unpredictable.
Early.
You know what I love about that National Football League? The unpredictability.
Oh, absolutely.
That's the point I'm making right now.
In September football especially, I know that we're getting into kind of the nitty-gritty of the season, but September football especially I have to take with a massive grain of salt. But you call it that great AFC West. I don't know if I'd call it that anymore. It seemed like it preseason if you look at those four quarterbacks in the AFC West, but it does not look like it's going to be as much of a dogfight as I think I expected for certain and as I think all NFL fans expected at preseason.
I also feel like this week, we can talk more about this when we get into a more broad league discussion, this was kind of the leveling out week across the league in that there weren't a ton of huge surprises. Teams we thought were going to be good coming in the league, Cincinnati, for instance, they win a big game. Other teams that were flying high maybe got reset a little bit. This doesn't feel like
the
wild
Philadelphia Eagles.
That wild Sunday a week ago where we had all those big upsets. Mm-hmm. This week felt more like the norm, like what we're going to see in November with a lot of these teams.
The NFL does
have a
tendency to correct itself.
It does. It does indeed.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get into your calls, your texts, your thoughts on the Titans' 24-17 win over the Indianapolis Colts in Indianapolis. We'll get your thoughts, Caroline Fenton, Chad Withrow. We are live from the Superbook Lounge at Landshark Bar and Grill in Margaritaville. It's 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Post game show. Caroline Fenton in for Jonathan Hutton this week. Chad Withrow is with us as well. We're at the Superbook Lounge at Landshark Bar and Grill in Margaritaville, where we will be taking your thoughts all show long. Our number is 615-737-1025. Of course, we are breaking down the Titans 24-17 win over the Colts at Indianapolis. Plus, we'll get you updated with all of the games going on around the league.
I've never felt more official, Caroline. We just spoke with the man in charge of all the AV.
Ask for
around here.
Our expertise.
Yeah, and it really caught me off guard. I'm thinking, you want us to give you an opinion on this? Okay.
Let me go through all of my AV expertise that I have learned.
Spoiler alert to talk about our conversation, but we didn't have a lot of suggestions because it's great. We can see every game right around us. You don't have to turn your head too much to see what's going on. I can see right now that Melvin Gordon just fumbled for Denver, and the Raiders picked it up and ran it all the way back for a touchdown. And they're about to go up 17-10, 3:15 left in the second quarter of that game. I can look to my right, next to the Packers fans in front of us, and see the Packers have a 7-3 lead over New England. I love Aaron Rodgers. I'm starting to get a little bit concerned about their offense. I know that he would tell me to relax at this point, but Bill Belichick, great defensive coach, but he's got some young receivers. There's not a ton of playmakers there, and they're not quite jiving right now. So I don't know if the Packers fans agree or disagree. You're good with Aaron Rodgers, right? He's gonna be fun. Yeah, they're good. They seem real enthused about it right
I think
now.
I'd be pretty up okay 7-3. With Aaron Rodgers.
They're up 7-3 on Bailey Zappi. Is it Zappi or Zap? I've heard it pronounced
Zappi.
Before. Zappi. I want to go with Zap because that's less goofy.
It sounds cooler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Zappy's,
if there's any Hilltoppers in the house.
Zappy's goofy.
Correct it for us.
What I do is I change people's names to what it should be. So I'm going to call him Bailey Zapp from here on out.
But I think that does sound cooler than Zappi.
It feels like the Packers should be up more than 7-3 at home on Bailey Zappi. So we'll see what happens.
You say you're concerned about Green Bay's offense, and I would agree. But I would say that I'm a little bit concerned about both of these offenses.
Oh, yeah.
Green Bay and New England. And talk about a fall from grace for Bill Belichick, because New England looks like they are have a really tough road ahead. No Mac Jones, at least an injured Mac Jones for the foreseeable future. And a little bit of a confusion of the play calling in New England as well?
There is no doubt, Caroline, who won the big, I don't even know if I'd call it a battle, but remember when Tom Brady left, it was like, oh, who's going to be the one to give all the credit to for the Patriots dynasty? Is it going to be Belichick or Brady? Brady's been winning ever since he went to Tampa Bay.
I think we learned who won that.
It is a landslide if there was ever a competition between the two of them, and it's Tom Brady that's most responsible for the Patriots dynasty. I'm not a big Mac Jones believer, but now they've got the backup quarterback in. I think we kind of knew about the Patriots offense. We just assumed coming into the season that it's Aaron Rodgers, and they're going to figure out. By the way, we got some anger from the Packers fans because back-to-back plays, just an immediate rush on Aaron Rodgers, and he throws it away to no one, and they're going to be punting again here for the Packers. So rough go offensively for Aaron Rodgers, but that was the assumption. Back-to-back MVP. Last 2 years, the guy won league MVP. He's going to figure it out, and he probably will. But you don't want to go too late in the season before you get it going offensively. They've got some things they got to figure out.
And I think with Aaron Rodgers, it's the same as what we've seen with Peyton Manning and with Tom Brady. Aaron Rodgers and those three and so many other great quarterbacks are considered great because they can make pretty average receivers and pass catchers look elite. For example, Edgerrin James is in the Hall of Fame most likely because of who was throwing him the ball and not because of what he did on his own. So I've looked at Aaron Rodgers and said, okay, no Davante Adams, that's fine. Because who is going to be the next Davante Adams made by Aaron Rodgers? And it looks like he hasn't found that favorite pass catcher yet. And I think I also, in that same breath, I look at Davante Adams and what he's done so far in Las Vegas, or I say the lack of what he's done so far in Las Vegas, and I think, was it really Aaron Rodgers? Or is it Davante Adams that just hasn't built that chemistry with Derek Carr yet? And I think Las Vegas needs to figure that out and figure it out quickly.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Aaron Rodgers had a lot to do with Davante Adams' success, but it's also obvious that he's a very talented wide receiver, and he's going to end up doing fine with whatever team he's on. I got a question for you, Caroline.
Yeah.
When you look at Matt Ryan right now at 38 years old and Ryan Tannehill, which quarterback are you taking?
Oh, Ryan Tannehill, and I don't have to hesitate.
And I am with you on that, but I also asked that question telling you that today, Matt Ryan threw for 356 yards and two touchdowns. Now, he also fumbled twice.
That is true.
And had an interception. They're not asking Ryan Tannehill to do nearly as much as Indy's going to be asking of Matt Ryan. Mm-hmm. Neither team has a playmaker as a receiver. Mm-hmm. They're very similar in that way. Both offensive lines have struggled mightily.
Both have a fairly elite run game.
I'm with you that Matt Ryan seems almost feeble in his ability to fumble over the course of a game. But I'm also watching some of those passes today. And when he gets it going and he's throwing the ball in a second and a half and they've got a rhythm to their offense, he's still not a bad quarterback. Mm-hmm. So if we're looking at Ryan Tannehill middle of the league right now, which I think he is Matt Ryan bottom of the league? Is he closer to the middle? With Tannehill?
See, I look at the poster children for pretty average quarterbacks. Ryan Tannehill, Kirk Cousins. And normally I would put Matt Ryan kind of in that same category of quarterback. And you say, you know, compare the stats on the day. Matt Ryan, 356 yards, 27 of 37. Ryan Tannehill, 17 of 21 for only 137 yards. And I think the difference of the game here is that that's Ryan Tannehill's game. Ryan Tannehill doesn't need to be throwing 37 times for 356
right.
yards. That's when you start to see poor decisions being made
by
Ryan
Tannehill.
Well,
if he's throwing that many times,
you lose.
The Titans are losing by 25 to 35 points.
Exactly. Because if you think, okay, if Ryan Tannehill throws the ball 16 more times and matches the pass attempts of Matt Ryan, at least one of those, if not more, is most likely going to be an interception. So I think Ryan Tannehill, for the most part so far this season, I don't really have that many complaints. Because if you look at not just today, but really throughout the season, the Titans are asking Ryan Tannehill to do his job and to do no more, and he is doing that. It's when Ryan Tannehill is forced to throw the ball more is when the Titans kind of fall into a little bit of trouble. Matt Ryan threw for 356 yards today because he had to.
Yeah.
Not because they probably wanted
well,
him to.
Well, part of the reason he had to is because Jonathan Taylor had 20 carries for 42 yards, mm-hmm. a little over 2 yards per carry. I want to put this to bed. There's no debate between Jonathan Taylor and Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry is the better running back, and I'm not just saying that because of one head-to-head matchup. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Taylor's never rushed for 100 yards against the Titans' defense, which is a really good defensive front.
Yeah,
I just do not see the comparison. I know Taylor's numbers have been good, but if I'm out in the schoolyard picking players on my anything, you know, name the sport, Derrick Henry is going before Jonathan Taylor, and if I'm picking running backs, it's Derrick Henry well before Taylor, and I think Henry proved that again today.
And I have to disagree with you on one element that if I'm an NFL GM and you're giving me Derrick Henry and Jonathan Taylor and you say, pick one, you get either one. I lean Jonathan Taylor only for the fact that he's younger and healthier. But if you say you have one game and you get to pick your running back, it's probably Derrick Henry.
It's not. There's no probably. It is Derrick Henry for one game. Now, you're right. If you're a GM and you're saying, okay, I want
longevity.
One of these guys for the next 5 years.
Yeah,
I'm taking the younger guy.
Right.
Without the tread on the tires. But right now, and over the course of Derrick Henry's career and in his prime, going head-to-head with Jonathan Taylor, right now in the NFL, Derrick Henry's the better running back.
And I
will die on that hill.
And I think we've always called Derrick Henry a type of running back that just needs a little bit of time to get going. And we've all been waiting for that from Derrick Henry. I think we started to feel it, at least I did, against the Raiders. It felt like Derrick Henry was kind of getting built up for a big one, to rip off a big one, that I was waiting for a Derrick Henry 30, 40, 50-yarder to the house. We didn't get that against the Raiders, but Derrick Henry was still fairly efficient against the Raiders, and I think you saw that today, that he is still one of those running backs that just needs some time to get going. Again, 22 carries for 114 yards today and a touchdown. Derrick Henry looked like more like Derrick Henry of the past than he has at all this season, and I think that's a testament to one, the offensive line, the blocking, and two, the fact that Derrick Henry just needs some time to get going.
He still had a very productive day, you know, 5.2 mm-hmm. yards per carry. He had the one, I'm trying to find the exact yardage, but the one nice touchdown where he broke outside and easily sprinted. It mm-hmm. wasn't a really long run, but a really nice touchdown run. I thought the one that got called back for the Treylon Burks hold, that was going to be the sign of, okay,
right.
this is going to be vintage Derrick Henry.
Right.
When that happened in the second quarter, and they still end up scoring the touchdown, but it wasn't Henry. If that's not called back for a hold, that's where I'm watching Derrick Henry, and my mind is immediately going to some of those dominant performances we saw against Jacksonville in the past. I'm thinking this could be a special day for Derrick Henry, but Treylon Burks with a stupid holding penalty on that play.
A stupid holding penalty, and that's what I think is setting this team back, I always say just don't make things more difficult for yourself than it needs to be. Don't take two steps forward and three steps back. And I saw a few penalties.
What is it Mike
today.
Vrabel says? Don't do dumb bleep that hurts the team.
And that's exactly what Treylon Burks did there. And yeah. I saw a few penalties today, and penalties are going to happen. But I saw a few penalties today that I thought, man, that is such a momentum killer. That is such a just a thorn in the side of the Titans. And that the Treylon Burks holding penalty was one of them. And then early on in the game, there was a penalty. Who was it on? That I looked at that and I thought, gosh,
the what hands to the face.
Hands of the face.
Yes.
Danico Autry, yeah. Hands to the face.
Yeah.
Just an absolute drive killer. That just, and I found the Titans team, sometimes they're able to overcome digging themselves in a hole, and sometimes it'll be a turnover or it'll be a dumb penalty like we saw at the very beginning of the second half of the Raiders game. Two back-to-back penalties that set the Titans back 10 more yards, and it didn't seem like they were able to get back from that. Today, it seemed at least that they were able to, okay, penalty, we'll move back from it. But sometimes I worry that this team isn't able to handle adversity very well.
No, I think you're right. This is what I jotted down, just my handwritten notes while I'm watching the game. I had, for the first quarter, Colts receive opening kickoff. Mm-hmm. Then next, too easy of a 3rd-and-12 conversion. And then right after that, Danico Autry with a drive-extending hands-to-the-face mm-hmm. penalty on another 3rd down, followed by Matt Ryan commits 8th fumble of the season. And that's what got the Titans going. Hey, when we come back in our next segment, let's get to the what I thought was just atrocious handling of the clock. And not just, and I'm talking about the end of the first half for the Titans, not just by Ryan Tannehill on that whole sequence. It started before that. We got to get into that.
That was a brutal sequence.
Look, Titans win, big win. They get back to 500. That's all positive. I'm going to be positive, but this next segment will be negative about the Titans.
And we will get into that coming up next. Plus, your calls, your text, 615-737-1025. It's the NFL postgame show. Caroline Fenton in for Jonathan Hutton and Chad Withrow. We are at the Sports Superbook Lounge at Landshark Bar and Grill in Margaritaville. 1025, 1063 The Game. It's the NFL postgame show. Caroline Fenton in for Jonathan Hutton and Chad Withrow. Denver, Las Vegas is now tied at 16-16. Both Denver and Vegas missed the extra point, and that just adds to how disgusting this game truly has been, and I'm sure will continue to be. Aaron Rodgers also just threw a pick six. New England is up 10-7 over Green Bay.
Speaking of disgusted, that's the look on Aaron Rodgers' face, and confusion on the face of Bill Belichick. After that pick six, it was so odd. They kept cutting to him. First off, he's got a Croatian flag on his jacket.
I don't know why.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a good reason. I don't think he's going all willy-nilly. But yeah, I found that odd.
Confused.
I'm sure someone will now tweet me and explain to me why the Patriots are wearing Croatian flags on their gear today.
We love Croatia.
Yeah.
But
no issue with Croatia. I hear it's lovely.
I would love to go one day.
Absolutely.
But I'm not going to wear a patch on my jacket, but let's go Croatia.
Yeah, there's a lot of confusion going on with Croatia, with Bill Belichick after that pick six, and with all the Packers fans in here after watching this Green Bay offense for the first half. By the way, that pick six happened with 13 seconds left in the first half. Less than ideal for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Now the Patriots lead 10-7.
Now let's go to your phones. Again, we are recapping the Titans' 24-17 win over the Indianapolis Colts. We'll get your thoughts. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Jack is up next.
What's up, guys? Calling in here. Little clarity. The coaches and players are wearing flags of their heritage, so that's why.
Okay.
Just in case you forgot. Sense.
Thank you for the Croatian clarification there, Jack.
Jack, I knew you would have the answer to that. That's one of the reasons we went to you. Thank you for that.
Appreciate it. Yeah, Kyler's got the Korean flag today, which isn't helping very much. So, quick question.
Maybe it will later in the game.
Talk about the second half. Just continue to be an issue for the Titans. Last year, we saw it multiple times where, Tannehill looked like Tom Brady for the first half, and then he looked like Brian Hoyer for the second half. What are your thoughts there? Are they not pushing the ball down the field enough, getting too complacent? And also credit to the special teams guys. My guys won the battle out there today.
Thank you for your call, Jack. Shouts out to special teams. I think that's the golden question that all Titans fans are asking themselves.
Hey, how about, seriously though, on special teams, how about Stonehouse?
Seriously.
He was great today.
He was great. He continues to be great.
I know Jared's big on letting Brett Kern go, but I'm watching that and thinking, okay, this is why you keep this guy, because his leg is special. Second half Titans, it really to me is just a matter of the opposition saying, screw a defensive game plan. Let's go after it. Mm-hmm. We're going to send extra guys. We're going to blitz. We're going to run blitz. We're going to keep a lot of people home to stop Derrick Henry. And we're going to make Ryan Tannehill make some quick decision and get it out to someone in man coverage. The Titans don't have receivers that can beat man coverage. They don't have the offensive line that can give Tannehill enough time to throw it. Then Tannehill starts to look confused in the second half. People want to blame Todd Downing, and there have been some bad second half play calls. But I think it's more of, honestly, if teams would also take that second half approach in the first half against the Titans, I think they'd struggle a lot more in the first half. When teams come in with a conventional plan mm-hmm. to try to stop everything and not just Derrick Henry, that's where the Titans kind of feast, because they get them off balance of the play action. They also get Derrick Henry involved. And then they get to the second half, and they've got no counterpunch. We talked about that in the first segment.
Right.
But it's a great call from Jack. And it's, look, it's the Titans are a 24-point team. And I'm not saying that to be coy about they've scored 24 the last 2 weeks. To me, that's the ceiling of this team right now. They're not going to win a game 38-35. They're not going to win 48-45. Seattle beat Detroit today 48-45. That's not going to happen with this Titans off. I mean, they're a defensive team. They're a Derrick Henry run-first team. They don't have dynamic playmakers at receiver because they traded the one guy away that was an actual dynamic playmaker in A.J. Brown.
Who continues to ball out in Philadelphia.
Oh, and Caroline, who's the one undefeated team in the NFL right now?
That would be the Eagles.
That would be A.J. Brown's team, right?
A.J. Brown's yes. Philadelphia Eagles.
A.J. Brown's Eagles undefeated. Yep. But the Titans can still win this way. I don't think they're going to win to any great extent in the playoffs. They can win this division with this formula. They got to find something more. You can be okay winning games 24-21 or 24-22 like they did last week, mm-hmm. 24-17 today. But you have to do more. I'm talking at least string a drive together. Keep your defense off the field for a little bit. You can't be this atrocious in the second half. Three possessions, three and outs. That was with about 11 minutes left in the game. That was their second half mm-hmm. total at that point. And they went backwards on the first two possessions. They got to find a way to get something, even though we know this is not going to be a high-scoring team.
And I think the Titans, they're the kind of team that they just are what they are, mostly because Ryan Tannehill just is who he is. The Titans are scoring 24 points. It's a fairly low-scoring team because Ryan Tannehill isn't the kind of quarterback that's going to throw for 350 yards. They don't want him to throw for 350 yards. Now, will this team continue to develop as Derrick Henry continues to get his legs underneath him and continues to become that running back that just gets better throughout the season? Maybe so. But I think that every single defensive game plan that the Titans are going to face this year, the number one goal is going to be to stop Derrick Henry. Now, Derrick Henry and this Titans team has found so much success in the past, even when the number one goal has been to stop Derrick Henry, and that's just what makes Derrick Henry so good at what he does. But can the Titans, in the first half, do enough so they can continue to kick their feet up at the half and continue to win games? They've done it twice. They've been able to win two games kicking their feet up at the half. Can they continue to do it? I just don't think so with how difficult the schedule is moving forward. But they got to win today.
They got to
win the AFC South.
It's not a great spot to be in where you feel like if the Titans are up 7 at halftime, they're in a bad spot.
That's a terrible spot.
That's not a good spot. You need to be up by more than 7. I mean, I thought it today at up 14 because they didn't get the field goal late to go up 17 mm-hmm. in the first half. How many times a year ago could the Titans just say, all right, we got A.J. Brown in man-to-man coverage. We're going to take 2 to 3 shots a game to A.J. Brown, where you just throw it up, mm-hmm. and he's going to go up, and he's going to wrestle the ball away from the DB, or you hit him in stride, and he has a big play. When was the last time the Titans just threw it deep to someone that wasn't some design play to get someone wide open that's crossing the field? You know, they can do it to a tight end. Mm-hmm. Treylon Burks had one earlier this year where he got wide open. But I'm talking just running down the field, throw it up, man-to-man. They're not even trying that.
Do they need
with this receiver core?
Can they?
Well, they're going to need to against better teams. They didn't need to against the Indianapolis Colts.
No.
They didn't need to because they had a great offensive start against the Raiders, but the teams that are going to win the biggest NFL, they do that because they can at some point. The Buffalo Bills could go deep to Diggs on any play if they get a man-to-man.
Because they have a quarterback that can do that.
Now, Tannehill, though, could do that when A.J. Brown was out there, right? So, to me, that's not a Tannehill problem. It's a lack of playmaker problem. Mm-hmm. It's an offensive line issue. But they're not even attempting that, which tells you a lot about how they think of themselves.
And how they think of this wide receiver core.
Yes. Again, Mike Vrabel and his staff coming up with a plan that tells you a lot about what Mike Vrabel thinks about what John Robinson has handed him this season. But they're showing you the route to success. We're seeing it right now. Bud Dupree coming back is going to help. Harold Landry not being there this season, certainly going to hurt all year.
Mm-hmm.
But they still found a way to get to Matt Ryan today. This defense still has a chance to be really good. I don't think they're great. They still have a chance to be really good. Top 10 in the NFL. I think with Harold Landry, I think it's a top 2 or 3 defense in the league. You're looking at one of the best in the league. I think overall they're probably top 10 right now.
And that's
even without Caleb Farley, a first-round pick, contributing at all.
And that's exactly what I was going to say, is it could be a top 5-ish defense in the NFL, of course, with Harold Landry, even with a kind of a dumpster fire in the secondary.
Think if, you know, Jeffrey Simmons, the first-round pick, has worked out on defense.
Mm-hmm.
Think if Caleb Farley had half the impact at corner that Jeffrey – if it was just a half as good pick, where he's just a steady, okay –
He is serviceable.
I'd say if he's half of Jeffrey Simmons, he's a pretty good starter in the NFL. But you know he's going to be a starter at corner. Not great, but he can hold his own, pretty good starter in the NFL. I'm not even asking him as a first-round pick to be a great corner. Just consistent, okay starting corner in the NFL. If he was that, how much better is this Titans defense?
Isn't that sad that we have to ask the first-round draft picks just to be okay? I mean, even if Caleb Farley is at the level of Christian Fulton, who I feel like has been a fine starter. He has some good plays. He gets burned on some plays. He has some injury issues. But overall, I think he's the best corner on this team. So if Caleb Farley can even get to that, and he can't. And that's the frustrating thing. And we could talk all day long about the misses in the first round. Talk all day long about the misses overall in the draft. But, man.
Well, it keeps going back to, they're not asking Caleb Farley to do much of anything as a first-round pick. But yet when Kyle Phillips wasn't hurt, he looked like their go-to receiver.
Mm-hmm.
As a rookie, that's not a first-round pick. That should never be your go-to receiver. Nice slot guy.
Yeah.
Good third-down option. Could be a good special teamer if he stops fumbling the ball, you know, on punt return. But that is the just completely backwards way the Titans have constructed the roster in a number of ways. And that's where they are right now as a team, and this all stems from trading away A.J. Brown. We feel a lot different about this Titans offense if A.J. Brown is still there. Maybe Treylon Burks, this injury is not going to be that impactful, and by the end of the year he's going to look really good. But right now, Caroline, 24-point team. That's it. That's the max. They get more than that. You know, feel happy, Titans fans, that they broke the 24-point barrier.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have a thought, we'll get to your calls, your texts. Plus, coming up next, we talk a lot about the Titans' second half against the Indianapolis Colts, but there was a drive at the end of the first half that we need to get to. So we'll break that down coming up next. Caroline Fenton in for Jonathan Hutton. Chad Withrow is the NFL postgame show, and we are live at the Superbook Lounge at Landshark Bar and Grill in Margaritaville. It is the NFL postgame show. Caroline Fenton in for Jonathan Hutton. Chad Withrow here with us as well. We're at the Superbook Lounge at Landshark Bar and Grill in Margaritaville. Brought to you by Runner's Warehouse, Two Rivers Ford, and Superbook Sports. We are breaking down the Titans' 24-17 win over the Indianapolis Colts. To take a phrase from Mike Vrabel, it wasn't pretty, but it was beautiful. Titans are 1-0 in the AFC South, and at the end of the day, that is really all that matters.
This ain't show friends. This is show business, and all that matters is a win. It's win or lose, and the Titans won today. Doesn't matter if it's pretty. They got the job done. It is pretty, though, in here with all the TVs inside of Superbook Lounge at Landshark Bar and Grill, Margaritaville. Big thanks to our sponsors, Renter's Warehouse, my guy Matt with Renter's Warehouse, normally here with a VIP crew. He'll be here after the next Titans home game when we're here. By the way, October 23rd, our next show after Titans-Colts round 2. which will be at Nissan Stadium in Nashville. Always big ups to my friends at Two Rivers Ford. Just purchased another vehicle from Two Rivers Ford a couple weeks ago. And Superbook Sports. So big thanks to our sponsors. Great food and drink specials. $3 off any appetizer in the bar area. $20 special price for buckets of Landshark, Bud, Bud Light, Mick Ultra. Great crowd in here on a Sunday afternoon. We've got fans of teams from all over the NFL, which is really cool to see. Great spot to come watch Sunday night football. If you're looking for a place to get out to tonight in Nashville, so come see us down here. We're having a great time, Caroline. Fun first hour of the show. Flew by. We got some late afternoon NFL scores that we'll get to you soon. Our guy Ladarius is doing a great job engineering for us also, so big thanks to everyone making the show happen. And we can take phone calls at 737-1025.
Yes, we can. We'll get
Did
your
I get everything out
often.
There? Did I run through it all?
I think all of those
Good.
Boxes are checked.
Good.
I's are dotted. T's are crossed.
Sweet. But unlike the Titans at the end of the first half.
And that's what I want to get into. Because the Titans in the first half, I mean, they were rolling. First possession, touchdown. Second possession, touchdown. Was able to score on that third possession with a field goal. I mean, it was classic Titans first half that we've seen so far this season. They have scored on the first possession in each of the four games so far this season. The Titans in the first half have looked great. The Titans in the first half, for the most part so far this season, has carried this team. But it was the last drive on the first half that I thought to myself, oh boy, if this is a peek behind the curtain of what we're about to see in the second half, hold on, everybody, because it's about to get really ugly really quickly.
There are things in sports that I just cannot stand. Maybe because I'm someone that, you know, is not athletically talented enough to play at the highest level.
A little bit of resentment
but yet
there.
I'm smart enough in playing sports to know things not to do. I hate when a basketball player takes a shot with 20 seconds on a shot clock when the game is in hand or they need to be taking it all the mm-hmm. way down to the end.
Take your time.
I hate when a baseball player can't lay a bunt down, a sacrifice bunt, another pet peeve of mine. And I cannot stand when NFL teams cannot work a clock better than what the Titans did at the end of that first half. Complete lack of urgency on that final drive.
Uh-huh.
They huddled. I counted. There was under a minute left. Clock rolling. Two timeouts, I think, at that point. And they huddled with the clock rolling right around midfield. So in doing that, you are announcing to everyone that's watching that game, we have no chance of scoring a touchdown. Because if they're rushing to the line, I'm not saying burn the timeout. Get to the line quick after a first down. Run another pass play. Get closer. You're putting yourself in position to maybe score six.
And take advantage of every second on the clock.
So they just announced to everyone, best we can do is a long field goal, right? That's what they're telling everyone.
We're going to take our time.
When they take their time. Next play, I believe it was, Treylon Burks gets the completion, does not get out of bounds.
Mm-hmm.
Dumb thing number one. They burn a timeout.
Clock keeps going.
At that point. I think then they had to burn one timeout. Then we get to the no timeout situation late. That's on Tannehill. You throw the ball away. You know, the announcers are talking about it, saying, get something towards the sideline quick. Mm-hmm. Set Bullock up for an easier chip shot field goal right before the end of the half. Instead, Tannehill decides to take off on, I want to say, 3rd and 4. He gets 3 yards, does not get the first down. So because they did not get the first down with no timeouts, they can't hurry up and spike it.
Mm-hmm.
So then you have offensive linemen slowly getting off the ground, not running off the field.
No sense of urgency.
They're trying to send the field goal team on. It was an epic failure by the Titans operationally, the whole sequence. Tannehill, Treylon Burks, offensive line, Mike Vrabel, everyone involved. You cannot, when you are a team as hard-pressed to score points as the Titans, mm-hmm. leave points on the field. I thought that would doom them. It should have if the Colts didn't continually shoot themselves in the foot in the second half. Titans found a way. Colts helped them a lot. Just like the Chiefs helped the Colts last week in a win,
mm-hmm.
Colts helped the Titans in a win today. Cannot have that happen, especially we keep saying they're a 24-point team. They could have been a 27-point team today by halftime, but they have themselves to blame for it. It really bothered me.
And overall, I blame that on Tannehill. And there are a lot of things that have happened this season, including the two losses, the loss to the Giants and the loss to the Bills. I don't put that on Tannehill's shoulders. I think so far this season, Tannehill has done exactly what he's needed to do. Now, a dumb interception against the Raiders and two interceptions against the Bills that didn't end up being the difference in the game. But I place this final drive on Tannehill. I mean, he's the director of this offense. He is driving this offense. He's in charge of managing the clock. Get things moving. You get your team at, you get your team ready to go, lined up and ready to go. He can see the clock.
Yeah.
And I think clock management by Tannehill has been a problem over the past couple of games. Delay of game penalties that have just kind of shot the Titans themselves in the foot.
I think you're right because, I mean, if we're looking at who's at the top of the pyramid, in that last sequence, it's absolutely Tannehill. You throw the ball out of bounds. Mm-hmm. Once pressure starts to come, you know, you give
Stop
yourself a
clock.
Chance. Yes, fourth down, go kick the field goal, get to half. Get those three extra points. I enjoy watching the Manning cast with Peyton and Eli.
I really don't.
Peyton is a master at I say that only to say not for their personalities. Peyton's a master at clock management.
Uh-huh.
But was as a player, and I feel like I'm watching that and thinking Peyton Manning would have known to throw the ball out of bounds.
Right.
Now, Peyton Manning also wasn't athletic enough to pick up a first down with his legs like Tannehill, so his mind immediately goes to
throw it away.
Well, Tannehill's mind goes to, I'm going to go get the first down with my legs. There it is. Mm-hmm. I can get out of this pressure. But you got to turn that part of your brain off and understand the situation. So just really frustrating at the end of that first half.
And also to be able to give themselves enough time so the field goal team does not have to rush out onto the field. Because Randy Bullock did make that field goal. It was from what? 35? It wasn't an unmanageable field goal. He makes it. It goes through the uprights, but doesn't count because of the false start on the offensive line.
How long?
Because they're rushed out.
Yeah.
And they had, I think, a single second to get the field goal team out.
It was never
going to
happen.
It was not going to happen.
The moment I saw what they were attempting to do, I'm thinking, it's not going to happen. It can't. And what was Bullock's one field goal today? 45, maybe? I'm trying to see
I have it written down somewhere.
But I feel like that's kind of his max.
Far enough away that I was nervous about him not making it.
44. So he was one for one from 44.
Anything in the 40s for Randy Bullock makes me nervous.
I think that's about his, like, they're a kicker. You know, Justin Tucker from 52, you feel good about.
Right.
Anything 45 and in, I'm certainly attempting with Randy Bullock. 40 to 45, I'm not certain of it. But I feel confident that he could make it. Mm-hmm. But you're on the edge of his range, quite frankly, at that spot.
And that's and this is a conversation for a different day. Randy Bullock's range drives me insane. Any other kicker in the league from 45 plus, you feel pretty good about it. 45, 48, you feel okay about it. Anything in the 40s with Randy Bullock makes me nervous.
Well, and we're talking about kickers on a day where Will Lutz had the double doink in London to end the game for New Orleans. Man,
it can never be.
I watch the kicker position, and I think that has got to be the loneliest position when you're the guy who misses an easy field goal to lose because you have not put forth near the effort of your teammates. It's one thing if you're out there playing offensive guard the whole game, then you got to go out and make a field goal because at least you can go back and say, hey, I fought throughout and helped us get to that position.
Job.
But your one job is to make that kick if you're the kicker. And you're sitting over there on the sideline. I understand all those things, but I lay that out there to say, make the kick. You're paid in the NFL to make those kicks. So make the kick.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have a thought on that, we'll get to your calls and your texts as well. Your thoughts on the Titans' win today in Indianapolis and whatever's going on around the league because we'll keep you updated with all of the other games on today. Las Vegas up on Denver, 19-16. New England up on Green Bay, 10-7 after a pick six right before the half. So we'll get into all of that coming up next. Caroline Fenton in for Jonathan Hutt and Chad Withrow. It's the NFL postgame show at Superbook Lounge at Landshark Bar and Grill in Margaritaville. It's the NFL postgame show. Caroline Fenton in for Jonathan Hutt and Chad Withrow here. We are live from the Superbook Lounge at Landshark Bar and Grill in Margaritaville. This is my first time here. The first thing I told you, Chad, when I sat down was, I have to come back here more often because this is a pretty cool place to watch games. Got a bunch of TVs, got all the lines and spreads and betting information that you need. Cold beer, good food, all the things that I like.
Caroline,
nothing bad about this place.
You are welcome for any of the shows that we do. You're welcome here. In fact, the GM here told me you're welcome anytime.
Well, I appreciate
that. They only allow me in here when I'm hosting a show. So I'm only allowed between
the
hours.
Maybe that's for good reason.
Yeah, actually, I get escorted out at 6 p.m. every day. 6 p.m. Central on the dot. They walk me out of here every Sunday after a show. But you can stay whenever. You can come whenever you want to. You can stay as long as you want. We'll be here after every remaining home game, and I think a select away game or two also. So we're going to have fun. We'll get you on if you're willing and able as a guest in one of our upcoming shows.
Always.
Even when Hutton's here. We'd love to have you swing by. We talked to Derek Mason also,
who's
going to come by as a guest at some point so we can talk more Titans and NFL throughout the afternoon as well. But you're right, great spot here. Mm-hmm. Great drink specials going on, and $3 off any appetizer as well in the bar area. So come see us at Superbook Lounge at Landshark Bar and Grill, Margaritaville, Broadway, downtown Nashville.
Also some great NFL fans here.
Yes.
I know some Packers fans are excited. The Packers just scored. They're up 14-10 on New England. Also, plenty of Titans fans here as well, excited about the 24-10 win over the Indianapolis Colts. And we've got some fans that want to weigh in.
Let's do
615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have a thought, we'll take your calls and your texts. But Andrew texts into the text line and says, Tannehill isn't the idiot calling run plays in two-minute offense.
Well,
I understand that.
The run plays, though, isn't what killed the team. The run plays were actually successful and helped get them in a position to where they were definitely going to get a field goal at the very least, at least we thought. So I understand starting the drive. And he may be talking about the start of the drive where Titans get the ball. They do this a lot. I don't love it. But it's as if they're going to call a run play, and if it's stuff for no gain, they're going to work clock and try to end the half, you know, and not go for it. If it gets 5+, they're going to go for a score. They got 7 or 8 yards on the first play of that series, if my memory serves me correct, with Henry. Then they started going a little bit faster and getting things going. But then once they cross midfield, that's where my complaint starts, because it went from a minute 10, a minute 9, to under a minute where they're huddling and the clock continued to roll. I thought that's where they just announced that, hey, we're not interested in scoring a touchdown. We're trying to get a field goal, and that's it.
And those extra few seconds are so valuable. When getting some extra points at the half, getting that momentum before the half is so key. And this isn't necessarily specific to that final drive of the first half, but the texter texts in about the run plays. I think there are a lot of Titans fans that are frustrated with the sheer number of run plays called. I mean, it seems like almost every single first and 10 call, not every single, but nearly close, were Tannehill handoffs to Derrick Henry. I mean, I have no problem with that.
Their ratio should skew towards running more than passing, for sure.
Derrick Henry's the best running back in the league.
Yeah,
they've
got to run the ball more.
The ball to him.
But to the texter's point, I will say they need to do a better job of not telegraphing things. I do think at times, you know, you watch the Titans enough and you can see by formation and by down and distance, okay, this is definitely a run.
The personnel group.
And you're rarely surprised, right?
Right.
So when they can get the play action game going on early downs and they get something out of it, to me that's where they're most effective offensively. I think a big part, it's not first down, it's second down runs. Mm-hmm. Second and long, that's been an issue for this Titans team, running it too much on second down. But
and running it up the middle.
I say all that to this Titans team, I feel like I'm doing a Jedi mind trick on anybody listening. This Titans team is not your normal NFL team.
It really is not.
This is not the Buffalo Bills. This is not the Kansas City Chiefs. This is not the Green Bay Packers. This is a run-heavy team. It's always going to look different.
Well, I mean, what do those three teams that you just named have in common between the Bills, the Chiefs, and the Packers? They all have elite quarterbacks.
Exactly.
They all three have quarterbacks that are able to take the game into their hands. Literally into their hands by throwing the ball. This is not a team that can do that, and that's not a knack on Tannehill. He does what he does, and he does it fine, but he doesn't do more than what he's asked.
Well, and a great example is today, the stat lines from today. Matt Ryan threw 37 times, Tannehill threw 21. I get that they fell behind and had to throw more to catch up, but that's a close game within reach pretty much the entire second half once the Colts scored to make it a one-possession game early in that half. So I'm not buying that as much as, and both rosters are constructed similarly. I think quarterbacks are sort of similar, not great pass-catching options, great running backs behind them in Jonathan Taylor and Derrick Henry. But, yeah, Matt Ryan threw it 16 more times than Ryan Tannehill. It's because even the Colts are often going to skew more towards what we see across the NFL. The Titans aren't going to do that. And because of that, and without A.J. Brown this year, they are what, Caroline? A 24-point team, and that's it.
Exactly.
And a first-half team right now.
Go back to your phones. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Another texter texts in and says, I don't want to see any more Derrick Henry. I'm worried about the longevity.
Well, what
I am just not.
What? I mean, okay.
If you don't want to see any more Derrick Henry,
this is why I
don't think you see many more Titans wins.
This is what I've missed about calls and texts, because then you don't, you know, you occasionally get bad calls and texts, which make it great. If you're not, you don't want to, you want to shut down Derrick Henry for what reason? You're going to rest him against the Commanders? You're going to, because you think the Titans are so good, they're going to roll out there and beat the Commanders? They're going to beat the Texans without, give me a break. He's your best player.
Mm-hmm.
You don't rest him unless he's legitimately injured. So if the argument is lighten his workload, I just don't buy it. I mean, I feel the opposite. You use up Derrick Henry as much as you can while you can. I mean, you know, if you're Derrick Henry, your lifespan in the NFL as a running back, the way he plays, is short.
Mm-hmm.
The Titans signed it. They're paying him a ton of money. They signed him to a big contract. You don't lighten his workload. You increase it while you can. That may sound callous to some, but again, this ain't show friends. This is show business. That's what you do. I mean, you get as much out of Derrick Henry as you possibly can while you can. And right now, Derrick Henry still looks pretty good. So I'm getting him the football in a bunch of ways. Now, what I would like to see is Derrick Henry doing a better job. Patriots just scored a touchdown, by the way, to take what could be a 17-14 lead over the Packers in Green Bay. I'd like to see Derrick Henry more involved in the passing game, that he was effective at times when he caught the ball.
Right.
He's got to catch some of those passes
today.
And one that killed a drive. Mm-hmm. I mean, one that was an easy catch. He's got to come up with more. He's not a great receiver, but I think he's also someone we've seen do a lot with a screen pass when he catches it. So I'd like to see more of that.
And I want the Titans to use Derrick Henry for two reasons. One, very obviously,
that's a replay
okay.
of the touchdown
okay.
by the Patriots. Yeah,
one very obviously.
Caught my eye, too.
I say, you know, if you have a Corvette, you don't leave it in the garage to collect dust. If you have Derrick Henry, you don't not utilize him, especially when the rest of this offense isn't able to, you know, excel in the passing game. And number two, because Derrick Henry has proven year after year that he gets better the more that he's used. He needs some time to warm up. So if you want a Derrick Henry that pops off 40, 50, 60-yard runs to the house, you're going to have to use him in those gains of 3, a loss of 1, a gain of 4, and then all of a sudden it's a gain of 26 because Derrick Henry is able to just pummel his way down the field. We saw that today. We saw Derrick Henry be able to extend so many plays when he is breaking tackles, when he's got 3 defenders on him, and he's able to gain 3, 4, 5 yards after contact. That's what makes Derrick Henry so good. So, no, you don't sit Derrick Henry for fear of injury or for fear of regression. You use Derrick Henry because his days inevitably are numbered.
I love the Corvette analogy that you threw out there with Derrick Henry. Probably more apt to say a Hummer. You know, someone who buys
probably
a Hummer.
Probably fair.
And have
something
you ever,
big and clunky.
Have you ever seen a guy that owns a Hummer that doesn't break the Hummer out of the garage and drive it around? That's how you treat Derrick Henry.
Absolutely.
If you're going to buy a Hummer, you have to drive that thing around town. And the Titans, they still have a chance to ride Derrick Henry into the playoffs. I don't see this as a team that's going to make any noise if they get there. But at 2-2 right now in this division, and Derrick Henry being a big part of the offense like he was today, this could be a playoff team that's not going to do much, but they could ride him right into the postseason.
Another texter texts in and says, when does John Robinson face the repercussions for picking Caleb Farley in the first round?
Well, I would extend that. He's facing the repercussions right now when you see the secondary mm-hmm. and their problems. When does he face the repercussions for taking Isaiah Wilson in the first round? He's facing that right now by being forced to draft Dylan Raidens, who checked into the game today as a tackle-eligible player, as an extra offensive lineman on that third down play. So full marks to Dylan Raidens for being part of a successful play.
Thank you.
That he really did nothing on. Great
Dylan
job.
Raidens,
Dylan,
thank
good
you.
Job.
Yeah.
Great contribution,
great contribution
today,
Dylan.
Go back over to the bench now and sit over there while we take a knee with the offensive starters out here now that the game's over. So whiffed on Isaiah Wilson, then was pressed into drafting Dylan Raidens, took him too early, not going to work out. Caleb Farley.
Taking him at all, not even too early.
Swing and a miss, yes. there are guys who are undrafted that have better places on the roster. So you're right. Shouldn't have taken him at all. And then the Caleb Farley pick. We knew when Isaiah Wilson happened there were going to be repercussions for that pick. So, I mean, we're seeing it. To answer the texter's question, we're seeing it. This Titans team isn't as good as we thought. And in many ways, it's in large part, the largest part, because of no A.J. Brown and that decision to trade him away. But the other reason's because John Robinson's made some really bad early picks. And people can light us up and say, well, no one's 100%. Look around the league and look at these. Absolutely. But let's compare the Titans to the best in the league and not the worst. Because John Robinson, when on his game, the job he did early on, he was one of the best GMs in the league. John Robinson compares himself to the best GMs, best organizations in the league. So don't make excuses for John Robinson by saying, well, look at the Lions drafts or look at the Jags drafts or look at – no.
Do you want to be the Lions?
Exactly. The Titans want to be the best in the league, and they should strive for that. So John Robinson's got to be better. He's made some really good picks. Those high draft picks we just talked about, though, it's the reason the Titans aren't nearly as good this year as we thought.
And to the texter's point about when does he face the repercussions, I'm assuming that texter means when does he get fired? John Robinson just got a contract extension. John Robinson has never had a losing season as the general manager of the Titans. He's not getting fired because he whiffed on two first-round picks back-to-back. Now, does it hurt? Absolutely. Is John Robinson going to have to scratch and claw his way back into really good draft picks to fill the holes on this team? Absolutely. So far where it stands, the 2022 draft is looking like it's going to shape up pretty well.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think that you can define a draft this early. Probably have to wait a couple of years. The 2021 draft has proven to be pretty gosh darn awful.
You're right. Well, I'm glad that you said that about the texter saying it that way, because I wasn't even thinking in those terms because of the reasons that you laid out. He's so safe within his contract and that organization. It would take
Mike Vrabel is safe.
It would take 2 to 3 losing years and things really disintegrating for him to even be in danger of losing his job. So that's not going to happen, and it shouldn't happen. I'm not sitting there saying that he should lose his job for anything. Point being, his repercussions are what he sees with his football team, because he's as competitive as anyone you're ever going to find. He's facing those repercussions right now when he watches this offensive line play and he watches Caleb Farley incapable of doing anything.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get back into your calls, your texts, your thoughts on the Titans win over the Colts, plus everything else going on around the league as well. But coming up next, Chad and I will present the three things that we did like from this Titans win and the three things that we didn't like in your phones as well. It's the NFL Postgame Show. Caroline Fenton in for Jonathan Hutton. Chad Withrow at the Superbook Lounge at Landshark Bar and Grill in Margaritaville. 1025-1063 The Game. It's the NFL Postgame Show. Caroline Fenton in for Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and we are live at the Superbook Lounge at Landshark Bar and Grill in Margaritaville. Green Bay, New England is now tied 17-17 going into the fourth quarter. Vegas up 19-16, about to be if Derek Carr could hit him in the end zone, but he didn't. 19-16 up on Denver. So Titans win. They're 1-0 in the AFC South. Wasn't pretty.
Did we
but
see
it
that?
Do
you see that throw from Derek Carr right now? By the way,
Derek Carr.
They're showing
meant
the replay.
To throw it away.
Yeah, but it was like, okay, good. Oh. He was thrown away, but I'm thinking this is double covered. Yeah, he was just throwing it out of bounds. But I'm like, is he honestly trying
is he really
to hit this
targeting
receiver?
That guy in double coverage?
I really hope that that wasn't just a high throw.
Going way
and he was
left.
Throwing it. Yes, it looks like he was throwing it out of bounds. Third and goal now for the Raiders. And the Cardinals, by the way, just kicked a field goal to take a 13-10 lead over Carolina and Charlotte.
Titans get the win in Indianapolis. Three things that we did like, three things that we didn't like. We'll start with the good stuff. We'll be all hunky-dory to start the segment.
We're so positive.
We've been so positive all day.
So positive.
Yeah, Caroline Fenton, Chad Withrow, notorious positive people.
So much positivity.
The three things that we did like, I'll go first and I'll take the easy one. I'll take the gimme. The first thing that I did like was Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry had his best game of the season so far, 22 carries, 114 yards, and a touchdown, which should have been two touchdowns if it weren't for a Treylon Burks holding call. We'll get to that later. But I thought Derrick Henry had a very effective day. I thought that Derrick Henry was able to extend so many plays for the Titans. I thought that Derrick Henry looked more like vintage Derrick Henry than he has all season. Derrick Henry is the first thing that I did like from this Titans team against Indianapolis.
Yeah, I'm going to go on defense. Tyrann Tartt I think Tierre Tart is just it's a great – he's such a great example of what the Titans, I feel like, want to stand for as an organization, as an overachiever. He's got a crazy story about multiple junior colleges and, you know, growing up in New York City and then finding his way to Florida International and undrafted and now doing great things to the Titans. That interception was a savior for the Titans,
I thought. Oh, absolutely.
In the first half. So give me Tierre Tart, not just because of that one play, but because I think that he serves a lot of the identity of what the Titans want to be.
And I think he's been a model of consistency for this Titans team. And today is the exception, but really in the past, he's never really done anything super flashy. He hasn't been the one person that you look to and say, okay, this is the one that really took over on defense. But he's been so consistent, and today really coming up when the Titans needed it most. The second thing that I liked, I'll take the other gimme. I'll take the other obvious one. Ryan Tannehill. He didn't have a sexy stat line today. 17 of 21, 137 yards, 2 touchdowns. Didn't throw for a whole bunch of yards, but I thought that he was consistent. He played the game that he needs to play. Didn't turn the ball over. He got the ball moving for the exception of that final drive in the first half when he needed to take command of the clock. I thought Ryan Tannehill had a fine day, and I think overall in the season, Tannehill's been playing well.
Caroline, you're taking all the highlights.
I know.
From me.
I know. I'm so sorry. I'm taking the gimmies.
It's making
it's
up.
It's a Sunday. It's a day of rest. I'll take the ones that just are handed to me.
It's making up for the lack of time that you get on the segments with me on your show with Jared Stillman. So this is good.
Yeah, we're now making up for lost time.
Take the shine, and you can take all the highlights.
Thank you so much.
I'm going to go with the Titans' leading receiver today. Wasn't Robert Woods. Wasn't Treylon Burks. Wasn't Austin Hooper, who they got in the offseason to be a pass-catching tight end. It was the rookie, Chig Okonkwo, who had a touchdown. And this is not a great stat line when your leading receiver is 3 catches for 38 yards. But that's where we are. Derrick Henry, by the way, second leading receiver, 3 catches for 33 yards. But leading receiver in yardage today, Chig Okonkwo, 38 yards, a touchdown. But what I like most about him is I see the physical traits of a guy who can be that prototypical pass-catching tight end target in the NFL. So for that reason, I have liked Okonkwo so far. Had a big touchdown catch today. Give me Chig Okonkwo.
Of the four leading receivers for the Titans, one of them was a receiver. You got two running backs and a tight end in there as the top four leading receivers, and then Robert Woods with 4 receptions for 30 yards. But just gross.
Yeah,
just
not
absolutely
good.
Gross. The third thing that I liked isn't necessarily because of what the Titans did. It is kind of, but also not really. It's the Colts turnovers. I mean, the Colts get a game ball for the Titans in winning this game. The Titans were able to capitalize off of Matt Ryan fumble. They were able to capitalize off of that Tierre Tart interception that you mentioned. So the Colts were able to hand the Titans opportunities, and the Titans took advantage of it. So that's what I did like. That was the third thing I liked, was the Titans being able to take advantage of the Colts' mistakes. And that ultimately was what set them up for to be able to win this game and kind of take a breather in the second half, it seemed like.
And I'm just now remembering that second Matt Ryan fumble where the Colts recovered it.
Yeah.
Where it went backwards also.
Rashad Weaver almost had it and then popped out.
Yeah. The broadcast team said someone tried to pick it up and run with it, but they on review, they did not.
I don't think they
did. No one ever really had a good handle on it. A couple guys were close to it.
I think Rashad Weaver just tried to fall on it and it popped out.
Yeah. I'm going to go back to defense. David Long Jr. was very active today. 7 total tackles, 1 tackle for loss. He popped to me on screen, especially early. Titans needing stops on defense. Colts had a nice drive early, but I thought David Long Jr. Was really good in that first half. And then throughout the game, really, he's stepping up. He's another one of those guys, not the highest draft pick. You know, Tierre Tart was undrafted. I think kind of personifies what the Titans want in a football player. So I'm going David Long Jr. for my third and final. This is where the positivity ends. Those are the 6 things that we like.
That was positive enough. That was a few minutes of positivity. I'm getting a rash.
Yeah, we're having a bad reaction right now. And we're not even drinking up here today, so it's not from anything we're drinking.
Right. Water only up here. Hydration station.
Yes.
But the 3 things that we didn't like, and I think there are a few obvious things. So
would you like me to start?
You start, and I'll just let you know if I agree, because I'm sure we probably do agree on a few things.
Yeah, Caleb Farley.
Yeah. Yep.
Got to be better. You know, gives up the big pass play. A couple times, he's not challenging the receiver. Mm-hmm. It's like he's so afraid to play football at times the way he's supposed to.
He seems lost.
At his frame and why they drafted him, not just lost but timid.
Mm-hmm.
So many things with Caleb Farley as a first-round pick not to like. I did not like him today. He's number one for me.
And getting beat, and I 100% agree with you because that was number one on my list, getting beat is going to happen. You know, your receiver catching a long ball when you're in coverage, those things are going to happen. But it's repeated very obvious misses for Caleb Farley. Today on that big ball that he gave up, he outran his receiver and just fell down. And it was such an easy ball for Alec Pierce to catch. I go back to week two, the Buffalo game. Caleb Farley's man-for-man on Stephon Diggs, and why he was doing that, I have no idea. That's on Shane Bowen. But Stephon Diggs goes right. Caleb Farley peels left. Stay with your man. Find the ball. Stay with the ball. Stay with your man. So, yeah, Caleb Farley for me was definitely a negative and continues to be a negative throughout the season.
Caleb Farley seems like a guy who's heard the negative about him early on and now buys into it. He now believes he's that guy.
Well, I think
that's a real
it.
Problem from a confidence standpoint. Mm-hmm. It's no longer, I'm going to show them I'm not this guy. I'm a lot better. I've been better in college. I'll be better again. He looks like a guy who now believes the negative things he hears about himself. That's not good.
And I think the Titans have kind of proved that, too.
Yep.
That they just don't believe in him. Playing a guy that they found off the street over Caleb Farley.
He's been buried a bit.
Yeah. Second thing you didn't like.
Treylon Burks.
Yep.
We talked about the bad holding penalty that negated the Derrick Henry touchdown run. Titans still got a touchdown after that. Not getting out of bounds late in the first half was an error on his part in judgment. Not getting down when he was hurt. I mean, he took away a route. That's when Tannehill, I believe, got sacked on the third down play right after that because he had no one to go to,
right.
In part because Treylon Burks couldn't move
just
on the leg.
Just a complete waste of a receiver.
Fall down, dude. Yeah. You're injured. You know, you can't play.
Stop the
after
clock.
He had the catch, yeah. So Treylon Burks just has been disappointing so far. He's going to have to do a lot more as a first-round pick. I said it when they made the move to trade A.J. Brown and draft him. He doesn't have to be A.J. Brown right away, but he needs to be close to it by November and December if the Titans are going to get to where they want to go in year one, and he's nowhere near that right now. So put him on the list.
Yeah, I had holding call, not stepping out of bounds, and limping to the huddle when he could have just stayed on the ground. Those were the reasons why I did not like Treylon Burks today. Your third thing that you did not like from the Titans.
The shadows in Indianapolis on television.
Oh, it was so bad.
That is miserable watching a game there when they open up that roof. And now I see they rarely open it. I was shocked when they did it, even on a good weather day. They don't open it that often. But when they open that thing up, there's some shadows I feel like through the roof, even when it's closed, because I think it's clear on top in parts. But it was awful today.
It was
there were
hard
plays.
To see.
I've got a decent television. And there were throws to the left side in the second half. I couldn't see what happened because they threw into a black hole on the field, the way the shadows look.
Matt Ryan would have been in the shade and then throws to a receiver that's in direct sunlight. So you go from kind of a good picture to a completely overexposed, completely white picture. Yeah, that was pretty rough today.
That's a little off the wall for what we're talking about, things we didn't like today. But get me away from that. Here's another thing. We're watching all these games here this afternoon. Lambeau Field looks terrific. You know why? They have natural grass. They have natural grass, and I'm a big fan of that. The other game that I like that's aesthetically pleasing to my eye is Carolina, who also, I believe, is a natural grass stadium.
Is it? It looks kind of turfy. Very turf-esque.
For the purpose of this being our show, we're going to act like it's natural grass.
Yeah, it looks great.
Even if it looks like it and it's actual, you know, field turf. Either way, looks great. The grass at Lambeau Field looks great. There are too many stadiums, I feel like, that when they turf it up, it's too antiseptic. It all kind of runs together and looks the same.
It's too much.
Indy's one of those places I just don't enjoy watching games or highlights of a game in Indy, ever. So not just the shadows, but the whole setup there. Not a fan.
The TVs here would never look like that. TVs here at Landshark Bar and Grill in Margaritaville.
Since we're talking, by the way, like about – this place is great. You need to come watch a game here. The aesthetic here is terrific. Since we're talking bad about Indy also, I hear this all the time. Have you been to the Combine before?
I have not.
Okay, so we go to the Combine every
Indy,
year.
I've been to Indy, but I've never been to the Combine.
Indy can be okay when you kind of contain things to a small space of Indy, but it's so overrated when people – oh, you can – it's cold, but you can walk inside everywhere. like through their convention center. They have a little connection of caves and hallways
tunnels.
And stuff. And that's the most over. That's the worst reason to host something.
You know how you fix
that? You know
what
we're going to do? We're going to go to a really cold place, but don't worry about it. You're going to be outside some, but 60% of where you're going to go, you're going to be in a convention center hallway when you walk around. It is so easy to get lost in any convention center and hallways
it
also.
Is. And you know how you fix that? You just don't have it in a cold place. Take it to Miami. Take it to L.A. Then you don't have to worry about tunnels.
Absolutely.
Just wear shorts and enjoy the sunlight.
Look, I'm all for, stimulating the economy in places that may have an economy that needs stimulating and bringing things
booming
there.
Booming tourism.
But don't give me Indy in, it's comfortable because we know where everything is. And the reason it's in Indy also in the beginning was a lot of people could drive there.
Uh-huh.
They want it somewhere in the Midwest so people could drive if they wanted and flights were easier and not have it on one of the coasts. But spare me it's interconnected by indoor, whatever.
No, it's just a bunch
of... It's not a reason to host a big event like that.
It's a bunch of old football coaches that are set in their ways, and they don't want to learn another city.
This is a show in Nashville. For that reason and many others, I don't feel the least bit bad for Colts fans tonight after getting beat by what's been a pretty bad Titans team so far this year.
Well, I think that allows us the ability to slap a bad label on the Indianapolis Colts. If you lose to a bad team, you're a bad team. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get back to your phone calls and your texts. But coming up next, we'll make our official Sunday night football.
Oh,
it
yeah.
is a Sunday. Our official Sunday night football predictions. Caroline Fenton in for Jonathan Hutton. Chad Wither. We're live at the Superbook Lounge at Landshark Bar and Grill in Margaritaville. 1025-1063 The Game. Caroline Fenton in for Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and a big thank you to our friends at the Superbook Lounge at Landshark Bar and Grill in Margaritaville. It has been a blast. There's a great crowd out here. Such a great place to come and watch the games. They've got a bunch of screens up. They've got all of the betting information up on the screen. So if you want to post a quick bet on your preferred sportsbook, Superbook Sportsbook app, you can do it here. But just thank you to everybody here. It's been a blast.
It's been a lot of fun. Good crowd. Watching the Packers trying to mount a comeback now. They trail 24-17. To New England. Just picked up a big third down, though. They're driving inside New England territory right now. 8:25 left in the fourth quarter. Also, a reminder, if you want to come out, we're going to give our picks for Sunday Night Football here momentarily. If you're looking for a place to watch Sunday Night Football, come down. They've got $3 off any appetizer in the bar area, plus $20 special price for buckets of beer. Also want to thank our sponsors. Every week we have this show, NFL Postgame, with myself, normally with Jonathan Hutton. Great job, by the way, Caroline.
Thank you.
Filling in today.
Big shoes to fill.
Renter's Warehouse, Two Rivers Ford, Superbook Sports. Can't do this without their support, so really appreciate them.
We'll go to the phones.
Yes, let's do it.
MetWasn'tCountyHoney.com. Chris texts in and says, do you take more out of the defense stepping up to stop the opposition from mounting and ultimately finishing off the comeback to beat the Titans, or is it more concerning that for consecutive weeks the offense has not shown up in the second half?
Well, I think both. I mean, it's very concerning what the Titans are in the second half, but yeah, I mean, the Titans defense stepped up when they had to throughout the game. They were good in the first half with what they limited the Colts to, and they, they weren't always good in the second half, but they stepped up when they needed them, and they did so in a couple of big 2-point conversion plays a week ago against Vegas. So yeah, no, I have full marks to the Titans defense, but we knew that was the strength of this team.
Yeah.
If you're going to rely on someone to win the game, you're relying on that Titans defense over the offense.
And there were some times in the second half that I think Matt Ryan had way too much time to throw the ball. There just was not enough pressure on Matt Ryan, and that's why the Colts were able to make that baby comeback in the second half. But I think overall, yes, hats off to the Titans defense. But the bigger thing here is how concerned I am about the Titans offense in the second half. They're not going to be able to hold on for every game where they're essentially dormant in the second half.
Here's what scares me, though, about that Titans offense, Caroline, is what we're seeing in the first half more of what they're normally going to do?
Or is it the second
half? Or are what we're seeing that's weird is the first half?
Mm-hmm.
Is that second half Titans offense their actual offense, and we're just getting teased with good offense for one half in the first half that's going to go away at some point?
And I think the truth
don't
is
don't want
to
end on a downer,
middle.
Though. I want to end on the Titans game by saying big win today.
Big win.
Good job. Packers fans in the house. They're very happy. Packers just scored a touchdown.
Yep. Packers are soon to be up 24-17. Is that the score? 24-24. Okay.
Romeo Doubs on
All
the
right.
touchdown.
So Green Bay about to tie it up with New England. But before we go, your official pick for Sunday Night Football tonight. Kansas City Chiefs on the road at Tampa Bay. Kansas City is a 1.5-point dog at Tampa Bay.
Give me Tampa Bay. Terrific, Tom. You can't bet against Tom Brady. We all know that. I think there's going to be some special things in the air with Hurricane Ian going through the area and everything affected with that. I think Tampa Bay finds a way to get it done.
I'm going to take the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are so embarrassed about their performance last week.
That's
against
a good
the
point.
Colts. They had just a horrendous game in all three phases. I think that Kansas City ends up winning the game in Tampa Bay because I just don't know who Tom's going to throw the ball to. But that's going to do it for us today, NFL postgame show. Thank you to our sponsors, Renters Warehouse, Two Rivers Ford, Superbook Sports, and, of course, to the Superbook Lounge at Landshark Bar and Grill in Margaritaville for hosting us and every week with you and Hutton. You'll be back 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
We will be back October 23rd after another Colts game. So Colts game here, Colts game in Nashville. We'll have some people leaving that game coming over. So should be a lot of fun. Having a lot of fun with this show. Thank you, Caroline, for helping out.
Happy to be here. And thank you to Hutton for letting me fill his shoes for the day. But that's going to do it for us today. Continued NFL coverage is up next, 1025, 1063 The Game.